All right, this is the February monthly meeting of the WPFW local station board. Calling the roll.
Okay, Irene Adams.
Present.
Yao?
Don't see him.
Okay. Thomas Blanton?
He sent a message that said that he would be late or possibly absent.
Late? Okay, so we better just question mark until he... All right. Sarah?
Present.
Wayne Bruce?
Not here.
Okay. Bill Curtis?
I'm here. Thank you.
Violetta?
Here.
Vanessa?
Here.
Sue Goodwin?
She said she
would be late because she's teaching.
Right.
Donna Grimes, she said she would be late also.
Mm-hmm.
Kamal?
Here.
Julie?
Here.
Arthur Highland?
Present.
Did he say something? Arthur Highland?
He said present.
Yes, sir. I am here.
Okay. Max Merrick? Max
Here.
Merrick?
Here.
Okay. Jerry Paris is present here. And Minerva? Minerva?
I am expecting her, but she is not here now. She said she
okay. would be late. Okay. Adele? Adele? I haven't heard anything from her, have you?
No, I have not.
Frank Stearns?
He will not be here.
Okay. He contacted you?
Yes.
Okay. He is excused, absence. And then Dennis Williams.
Yes, I am here.
Okay. All right. And if you could just let me know if Yao comes in, and when Thomas Blanton, if he comes in, Wayne Bruce, if he arrives, Sue Goodwin, Donna Grimes, and Minerva, if you could let me know when they come in.
Okay, and for the record, the three people from whom we have not heard anything are Yao, Wayne Bruce, and Adele. So if they do not show up, they would be not excused.
Okay.
Okay. Approval of the agenda for this evening. Any comments or questions? Without objection, going once.
Question from Jerry.
Yes.
Yes, Jerry. What time is community comment tonight in terms of the time certain? Because we have some reports that we have to do. I have a management report and I have a programming report also that we have to squeeze in.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock is okay. Thank you.
Okay. We have scheduled an executive session at the end of the meeting. Hopefully the meeting won't go till 9:30. And we can get that in beforehand. The other thing I should let you know at this point is that I will need to step away at 8 o'clock. Assuming Minerva arrives before then, she has agreed to take over the meeting at that point. So any objections to, I'm sorry, Sarah.
Yeah, I'd just like a
for just for the record, to put me on the any commentary about the moving, you know, relocation committee.
Yeah,
I am actually active on that. So they just put my name on that. It's just for the record so that I get credit for joining.
Yes, yes. And I will mention you and also say that, and we may actually postpone that entire conversation because part of that, we want to have happen in the executive committee meeting. So we may just, move the whole relocation to that point.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay. Any objections to approving the agenda? Okay. Agenda is approved and the, minutes for the January meeting. No objections. Okay. The minutes for January are approved. First item of business is, I said that Frank Stearns will not be here because he has resigned. I have a statement from him. Okay, reading into the record, due to unforeseen circumstances, I am resigning from the LSB. Changes in my professional personal situation prevent me from devoting the time needed to the board. At this point, I feel it's best to step aside so that someone who can contribute more can fill the position. Best of luck. Frank Stearns. So that leaves us down to 17 at the moment. We are dwindling. Is Mr. Morrison here? Okay, we had a candidate for to fill one of the seats. He does not seem to be in attendance this evening. So we will move ahead with the next order of business, which will be the general manager's report. Before I do that, Mr. Tatum, may I make you a co-host?
Yes, you may. And I have a comment on a possible candidate.
Okay.
If the board wants to, they can elect that person pending his approval. Once he approves, then it's already a done deal. When you get to him and he does not approve, then you got to start all over again. So it's the board's choice.
I'm not sure I understand.
What I'm saying is the board could approve this candidate this evening, pending his approval. In other words, when you get to him, you can say the board put you in. Do you accept? And you bring that message back to the board. However, if you reach him and he says, I do not want to take that seat, then you start from scratch on filling one of the seats. The board has that option.
I see. I was in touch with him. He did say that he was willing to serve, and I asked him to attend the meeting and he's not here. So that's why I'm sort of waiting for that.
So that means he's in the seat. And this is his first absence, if the board puts him in tonight.
Any discussion of that? Vanessa, I see your hand.
I would object to that. I don't know if I'm the only person who has no idea who this person is. Would it at least like to hear him speak? On some level, his vision, his goals, you know, before just automatically endorsing somebody who, I mean, God bless him for wanting to do this. But I'd rather wait until he can attend and then let us make a more informed decision.
Mm-hmm.
My apologies. I thought he was already vetted.
No, not fully. But thank you, John. Okay, so we will move on. Ellen Wayne Bruce has entered the room.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Paris, you have the floor.
Okay, I would like to actually start with a moment of silence.
Yes,
We've lost one of our foundational ancestors. Lauren Kresslove has transitioned. And besides being one of the founders of WPFW, I believe she might have been the second general manager for WPFW, but she had been involved with the station all her life, pretty much. And she recently transitioned. So I would just like to, in honor and respect to her, just have a minute or so of silence.
Yes, please. All right, Jerry.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everybody. And if I may speak to the tradition or the history of WPFW being a very, very, very human operation, it was Lauren Kresslove's sister, Frances Kress Welsing, that was one of the major things that brought me to Washington, D.C. I had read her book when I was a high school student in Portland, Oregon. Perhaps the most racist state in the country. And her writings, along with a few other writings out here, really spoke to me. And for me to find that her sister had been a general manager of WPFW kind of wrapped things very tightly for me spiritually. So to the report, to the immediate of the station, we carried the State of the Union last night to the network. It was not a must-carry broadcast. That means that it was optional. So I'm not sure who picked us up last night and who did not. It was their choice. We had a pretty good broadcast. We had some small glitches. We were a minute late, but the State of the Union address itself was late for the very first time, I think, in history. But other than that, and a small ID glitch at the end of the broadcast, it was a very good broadcast. So once again, WPFW being a resource to Pacifica, besides to our own signal area. And it was very well received from what I'm hearing. Also, an immediate development is HD1 is on line, is on the air now. One of our HD channels is active on the air, and the way HD radio works, the first HD signal, because there would be our analog signal, 89.3 FM, and then HD 1, 2, and 3. For every radio station, HD 1 is simply a copy of the analog signal that shows off the improved quality in digital format, and it is a great improvement in our sound. If you listen to it, you will hear that it sounds much better. We're not populated on our other HDs yet because we have to build the feed structures to other studios, if you will, to feed those channels, and we're not quite there yet. And then programming has to be developed to feed those channels. We're working on that, but HD1 is up and running. We have a pledge drive that is coming up. Our next pledge drive begins February 19th. It will run through March 11th. It's a standard pledge drive, runs 21 days with a standard goal of $300,000. We've had a very productive pre-pledge drive meeting earlier today with the staff, some programmers, and some producers. And we think we have a theme for the drive. We will announce it all tomorrow. I don't know if it would be appropriate for me to announce it all yet because it's kind of in draft stages, but we will have everything out to the programmers tomorrow because we've received correspondence from programmers wanting to know what is going to be the theme, what is the plan, what is the schedule, are we going to have phone services? The answers to all the above will be provided, but you should know on this call that we will have phone services. We have our standard answering service, Telerep, that will be engaged for this pledge drive. We've done it without them before, really for miniature drives, the end-of-year drive we were able to do without Telerep, but that was not a full-on drive. We may have lost a few pledges. So we want to make sure that we capture all the donations on this drive, and as such, we'll have full phone services because we're not out of the woods yet in terms of the pandemic. We are not prepared to reopen the station to phone bank volunteers. So that's where we are in the immediate. We had a finance committee meeting, and we reported the state of the station in terms of our finances. Basically, we're up to date with our monthly commitments, along with health insurance and payroll. But it is very unfortunate that I still have to report that PFW is still living paycheck to paycheck. This upcoming drive is going to be critical to the continued survival of the station. So our accounts are very tight now, but we've met most of our commitments. I believe Kamal is on this call. If there is a need for detailed financial reporting, Kamal, I will leave that to you. Small financial developments are, I've terminated an outstanding consultant agreement that we've had, and I had made a commitment to terminate that agreement some time ago, and formally I made that termination today. It's almost a personnel matter, so I won't get into the details of it, but most people should know what I'm talking about. We've done some significant equipment upgrades to the station that needed to be done. Some of this may sound simplistic. We have a desktop computer that exists in master control, but that desktop computer controls maybe somewhere around 25 to 30% of our on-air content, all of our promos, all of our PSAs, a lot of our music is on that computer. The old computer started crashing on us. It was giving us complications. We replaced it with a new computer. Some time ago, we replaced the communications computer where we have Zoom communications. We replaced that computer a couple of months ago. These are important machines to our day-to-day operation. And we did so with one more computer. We upgraded the business office computer that Annette will be working on directly. That needed to be upgraded because Annette now has installed the accounting software that the national office is using. That is Great Plains. We have that because we're trying to take on more direct accounting responsibilities locally so we can streamline things. Again, Kamal can report on that. That has to do with streamlining finances. The important thing is, understand, we've got a pledge drive that begins February 19th, ends March the 11th. Planning is already underway. I always ask for help from this body in pledge drive. Anything that the board can do to help us with the pledge drive will be welcomed, and I'm asking for it now. One other small note, we have more remote programming capabilities now because we've had more programmers that have had issues with getting into the station, particularly at very odd hours of the night. Roach Brown has always dialed his show in from Ben's Chili Bowl, but now he has the ability to do so without a crew. We had entertained this before, but there are folks that did not want us to do it because of the compromise in sound quality. With the equipment that we have provided to the programmers, one is Lona Elias, the other one is Shea Butter and Arthur McLeod. it's studio quality equipment that they have at their locations, and they're able to do their shows remotely when necessary. The station is still, of course, open to the programming, but for those who have conditions, they can do their shows remotely. So,
I do want to ask a question directly related to what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. When you say you want the board, this is Sue. So when you say you want the board to help, I'm all in, but can you give me an idea of what specifically that could entail?
Okay, Sue, that's a good question. Hold on to that until we get to the end of the report, because that's when
I'm
going to come back.
I'm going to go.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Jim. And I'm basically done. It's a good, her timing is good. Okay. You know, so we can back up the questions now.
Okay, so the question is, are there particular things that you would like to see this board help with in terms of the pledge drive?
Yes, the first thing, to your question.
Yeah, go ahead.
The first thing that comes to mind is the buddy system that we have on occasion in pledge drives, where certain people buddy up with certain programmers and help them pitch to air. It adds a diversity of voices, you know, to the pledge drive. So there's also a question that was raised of, for people who want to maybe help pitch, can we provide some type of training? And Sue, you might be the type of person that could help train people for helping us pitch to air. Because I don't think it's a whole lot of training that has to be given. It's just the sincerity, you know, the voicing and, you know, the pitch. The theme that we discussed today, I might as well go with it, is we, instead of changing the theme, we decided that it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to change themes per drive. It might be better for us to have a regular standing theme, maybe that runs for a year. So the theme that we had for the end of year drive was better days. Very simple. You know, 23, we're looking forward to better days ahead. And we discussed going with that theme continuously, you know, with this drive, and then expanding upon it. Okay, so I will get into the granularity of it all. In the HD channels, when the additional HD channels come online, we will probably call, well, we are a jazz and justice radio station. So when HD2 comes on, we're going to title it Mo Jazz. HD3, we will entitle it Mo Justice. So with jazz and justice, so more jazz, more justice. And we're riffing off, if you will, the whole Spike Lee concept that he used with Mo Better Blues. So we're looking for Mo Better Days Ahead. So that's kind of the concept that we're going with this pledge drive. Better days, looking at 23. And here we are, it's a new year. We're trying to have new beginnings. So that's okay. The thematic beginnings of this pledge drive. Anything
okay, Jerry,
you can help with the theme will help also.
Okay, Jerry, hold on just a second. First, Sue, is that something that that you could do is to help with the training?
Sue?
I need to think more about that. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Could you be a voice, Sue? Could you help us maybe with pitching? Yourself. Sue?
You're muted, Sue.
What's the question?
Can you help with pitching?
Can I help? It's hardly my forte, but I'll do what's needed.
Okay.
But, you know, and I do think when two people are sort of talking with each other, it's a better pitch than if you're just doing it by yourself. I would agree.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm going to have to go on mute.
Okay, Jared, let me also ask the other key question with that is, it requires some coordination, because the programmers will need to know who to expect, is coming on with them. Volunteers would want to know what show they're dialing into. So that has to be a schedule set up.
So we're going to have to do scheduling almost immediately. I don't know how well informed everybody is on this meeting, and the LSB meetings are also public, but I want to be kind of careful because I can cross over into personnel territory kind of quickly, and I want to avoid using names, but we have an interim program director in place, and that person is very active and on working, and we will have to coordinate with that interim program director so that we can map everybody and schedule everybody with the appropriate programmers and set this all up.
All right. So for now, let me just suggest that any member of the board who wants to help with the pitching should email Jerry directly this week. No later than Friday. Get your name on the list, and we will take it from there. Minerva, I see your hand. You've been patient.
Thank you. And Jerry, have you identified the programmers that want the assistance? That's really important to know. And an idea of times when you're looking to have people help. So it's, and I heard to send an email to you. Who's your backup person if the people can't reach you, or who's going to be pulling this together so that those people who volunteer know who they're working with?
I will defer this to our office assistant, Annette Carson. So she will be the secondary contact. And her email at the station is acarson@wpsw.org.
Okay, thank you. And just one other question. I thought at one point that, and the other part to this is, are people going to be asked to come into the station to work with these people? There's a lot of logistics that need to be, as far as I'm concerned, shared as you ask people to help do things with a programmer or take part in the fund drive. So if you could get with Annette or whomever and give us some more information, I think that would help people make the decision. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. And then it will be very limited in terms of people actually coming to the station because we're not quite reopened yet and we still have to follow safety protocols in our view.
Okay, let me pause for a moment. Ellen, I want to make sure you get that Minerva is in the meeting, Sue Goodwin is in the meeting, and Yao is in the meeting.
Thank you. Yes, I did. Thank you.
Yep, okay. And the other questions for the general manager? As I said, I'm going to defer the discussion of relocation to the executive session. Is there, Jared, do you have information for a programming
quick
report?
Quick question.
Yes.
Okay. I believe the IPD was going to file her report immediately after mine, and I don't know if she's gotten on the call yet, on board, but... Yes.
I'm here.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, hold on. Then before we get to that, I do have a question for Bill Curtis, and then we'll go to that report.
Hi, Jerry. I have a question. Hey, the team that's coming in to answer the phones, what is the expense of that?
About $9,000. They don't come in. It's all remoted out to a call center, and They are contracted, you know, for the entire period. So it's pretty expensive. It is pretty expensive, but it pays for itself in terms of the number of pledges that they are able to take versus what we're able to do with limited staffing and volunteer staffing at the station.
Okay, so you're saying $9,000.
And yes. They are off-site, yes. Is that correct?
Yes, they are off-site.
That ain't cheap.
No.
Okay, was that it, Bill? Okay. All right, Esther. Did you have a question first?
Yeah, I did. Jerry, last pledge drive, you guys, I think, were sending people to the website to make a pledge. Is that, that didn't work out, or I mean, I'm just curious as to why now you're going back to, going to an offsite third party, folks to answer the phone.
It worked out partially, but we still were taking many, many calls ourselves at the station, and we lost a high number of calls trying to man the phones ourselves.
Okay, thanks.
So it sounds like a lot of folks still would prefer to call rather than to go online, and so we need to make allowances for that so we don't lose that.
Sure.
Okay, hold on, Nestor. I'm sorry, these hands are coming in. Kamau?
I have one follow-up on the call center as well. Is that a 24/7 service, or what are we, how many hours are we assigned? And then how many agents do we get? I mean, is it four or five people assigned to us? Exactly, how does it work?
We prioritize the service for our peak hours when we know to expect a lot of calls. So it scales up and down, but it is basically, yes, 24/7 coverage. The number of operators shifts according to the demand and the load, and we've got a bit of a feedback loop to them for when, you know, people that know the station and some people internally will call and won't be able to get through on occasion. And we know when to expect that to happen, and we ask for more staffing from Telerep, and they adjust. They are pretty flexible. There's a lot more that can be had from the phone services like them in terms of data mining, but we don't really have the staffing for taking advantage of what to do with that kind of data. But we can be kind of specific with them and tell them when to increase the staffing or to complain that people are getting through, and they're pretty responsive. They adjust.
Thank you.
Irene?
Sorry, I was on mute. One of the questions was, I have two questions. One was at the last pledge drive, the first few days, I believe, of the pledge drive, the programmers could not thank anyone on the air. They had to wait, especially those on the Saturday, had to wait for the next week because there was some, they couldn't see the screens. Has that been fixed?
Yes. We are dependent on a Pacifica-based system for reporting in the donation system. It's Otis's software, and I believe we had some problems with his software on a national basis, so it's fixed now. And we should be able to report immediately for people who call in their pledges. And there's also a bit of a feedback loop for online. We had an additional problem with trying to report pledging from people who pledged on, I believe it was Cash App and PayPal. And there was no feedback loop for those, but I believe that Vinny has done some work to integrate at least the PayPal pledging into our system so our programmers can even see when, no, not PayPal, I mean Cash App. Our programmers will be able to see when somebody has made donations on Cash App. So the system is reporting back now. They won't be in the blind this time.
And another comment is I when I'm listening to the pledge, listening during the pledge drive, you have the programmers giving out the number in the station. So perhaps that could cut down on the calls coming into the station that you're losing. But the, my other point is in regards to how did you find this vendor for the call center? Was there any bids made for these? How did you come about that? Cause it may be just a matter of us getting in a room. We don't mind being in a room together. Many of us didn't mind being in a room together, for the meet and greet. We could be in a room with a bunch of phones and it might not cost you much, but some phones.
That's a daunting prospect, actually. Yeah, because these commercial call centers are rather expensive, but you know, it's a professional operation. They get a script. They are tied in to our software, you know, so that somebody calls and makes a pledge at the call center. They take that pledge and enter it into our software and our programmers see that, you know, they've received X pledge and it runs through the whole tally system. So any system that we set up with, let's say a volunteer call center, we'd have to provide, you know, connectivity. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it's impossible at all. And it can, I won't say easily, but it can be done.
But we did have that before, correct?
Yes, at the station, you know, pre-COVID. You know, so
the obstacle would be to recreate that off-site with volunteers. Off-site.
Yes. And that basically you're calling for a phone system that can handle rotating calls and a computer system with maybe half a dozen maybe laptops and just a safe place for people to gather to do that work. So it's a brave undertaking, but it can be done.
Okay.
So,
Jeff, I'm fine. Yes. Right, thank you.
All right. Now, Esther, you have the floor.
Okay. I'm not on mute, am I? Okay.
No, you're not.
No. Nope.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, happy to make a report to you all. Jerry certainly covered a lot of the things that, I made note of, but, you know, I'll still go down this list and in an efficient way, I hope. So for this month, we did a very successful debrief on our December membership drive with a lot of feedback, recommendations, and action items for follow-up by staff. And many of the suggestions, including edits to WPFW's donation page, have already been put into place. And we also launched our first basically, the station doesn't have a directory of the show producers. And so just today, I think we finalized the Google form that's going out to all the shows to get names, addresses, phone numbers of people, email addresses, information about the people who are actually on the air. And perhaps when we had our last administrator, Jamelia, she had collected these forms. I remember filling out one myself, but, you know, Vinny said her computer was erased. And so a lot of the data is missing. So we're creating from scratch, a list of, you know, who's on the air, you know, and, you know, what show they're doing and how long they've been here, even their birthday. So we can say happy birthday you know, create a sense of community here, and, you know, at least improve the sense of community. So some of those things came out of our last drive. And some of the things that Jerry is mentioning also came out of that debrief in terms of improving the process and improving the experience for the shows, these producers, for the small staff, and to make it better for listeners who want to connect with the website and, you know, make that easier to navigate. The caller mentioned something about listeners not being able to be thanked, or the show host not being able to thank people on the air. Some of that is from the PayPal, and the way PayPal was set up on the website, when you went to the donation page, you saw this yellow tab that said donate. And it was just a natural choice for people to click on that yellow thing that says donate, but that would take people to PayPal, and the people on the air would not see any PayPal donations. Our systems still hasn't been fixed for that, so people still won't be able to see PayPal donations, but that yellow tab is gone, and hopefully it's clear to people that when they click on PayPal, they're actually going to PayPal, and we're going to continue to work and make it clear to people that if you use PayPal, we may not see your donation right away, and we may not be able to thank you on the air, so that people won't be disappointed if they want to be thanked, they want to, you know, their donation acknowledged on the air. So those are some of the things that came out of the debrief. Two new shows have been launched: Breakthrough News Radio Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. and Covert Action Bulletin Monday at 1 p.m. And the Monday at 1 p.m. slot was basically empty. There had been a show, Sounding the Big Pond, from the Goethe Institute, and that stopped. They stopped sending content last summer. And so even during the drive, we had to kind of scurry to figure out what would be there and what could help us during the drive and not have a whole hour with no pitching and no nothing related to what we were trying to do. Breakthrough News Radio, that slot, there was a repeat of Democracy Now! So that was a slot that could use some new original content. In addition to that, there's ongoing development of other shows that I'm really excited about. And, you know, especially catering to the large Ethiopian community in Washington area, which is the largest Ethiopian community outside of the actual country of Ethiopia. And anybody who, like me, who lives anywhere near Silver Spring or other areas know that this is a very lively area for not just Ethiopians, but Eritreans and people who come from the Horn of Africa. And that is something that a community that is desperate, really, for some type of programming that addresses their concerns and their culture and their news. So that's exciting. We produced 6 hours of special coverage for Martin Luther King Day on January 16th. You know, we attempted to do live coverage from the MLK Day Parade and Peace Walk. We ran into some technical problems, but we had some interviews out there on the street, and it wasn't bitter cold this year. So, you know, we managed to get through, and we had that mixed with interviews, some archival content, you know, speeches from King, and also Joni Eisenberg did her show live from the Busboys and Poets down there, and you know, interviewing people from the community, from Ward at 7 and 8 especially, and that was rounded out the coverage in the afternoon. We also arranged for special coverage of the January 20th Belmarsh Tribunal at the National Press Club in support of imprisoned journalist Julian Assange. And that was 2 hours of coverage from that location. It might have, yeah, I think it was 2 hours, or 1 hour or 2 hours. Okay. We've done a lot of updates on the website to correct outdated or erroneous information about programs, hosts, And that's ongoing. There's some things that still need to be updated. We've had to deal with some FCC violations, trying to encourage the show producers to be more careful about profanity on records or CDs that they're playing, but also so many, guests are used to being interviewed on podcasts that they think that they're on a podcast and they don't realize they're on live radio and, you know, some, you know, F-bombs and S-bombs, you know, have to be careful of. I've started a process of sending regular updates to show producers, and I actually have to do one tomorrow, reminding them we're having a meeting on Saturday for, you know, all show producers to be oriented about the drive, but also to catch up on some of these issues that we're talking about. And also just looking at some other things that will, you know, update them about shows. We had the longtime producer of Soul Conversations, DJ YZO, did his last show. He's kind of retiring from the station. And also Rope Flanagan, I got a information about from Nick, Dr. Nick, that Rope Flanagan is also retiring, and there's going to be a big shebang, big, well, you know, party for him later this month at the Lamont's in Lamont's, well, yeah, Lamont's show house. What is it? Show place? Okay. And also, I think that's pretty much it. In addition to the death of Lauren Cress-Welsing, I was informed that another former producer, Zarina Shakir, has also passed. And I don't know if people on the board remember her, but her show was on several years ago, and she did a show focusing on women. And I think her show was on Mondays, but she's passed recently after a surgery. So I think that's it. I mean, there's probably other things I could mention, but, you know, I think that's 95% of what I could remember.
Okay. Thanks. And let me just jump in to say that I don't know if we need the birthdays, but I think the board would appreciate having that, you know, if you could share the, you know, when you get the full sort of log of, you know, who the programmers are and who's on the air when, that's information that the board would enjoy having as well.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
If I may capitalize a little bit on Esther's report.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, the human resources at the station, we've had a young board operator that has been with us for some time now, Kalia, and he's growing into the position. We're probably due for a promotion sometime soon, actually. But we have a new trainee at the station. His name is Deontay. He's 24 years old. You know, so we're continuing the tradition of, you know, trying to educate at WPFW and, you know, bring some learning opportunities to the youth. And we've had some discussions, Esther and I and the staff, of some project that we would like to bring back to the station in terms of bringing on interns and maybe doing some type of workforce development work at the station, which I think is part of our mission and something that we'll take up at continuing board meetings. So it's been kind of productive down at the station of late. And Esther has come on at a very good time and is very proactive, and it's working quite well. So thank you, Esther.
You're quite welcome. Anything for our station?
Okay. Sarah, then Minerva.
Jerry, have we ever given interns, looked into giving a school credit to interns and encourage like seniors in high school to come work at the station?
Yes, we have. And we have a certain member of the station that was an educator that routinely brought high school students to the station, and they did get credit for the work that they did. And that's basically how it works. When you do the intern thing, it's all about school credit.
Was that the Armstrong, or is Armstrong still a technical school, or any of the other technical schools around Washington?
No, I don't think it was a technical school at all.
Okay.
Just to say, suffice it to say that yes, we did, and we need to resurrect that.
Okay.
I've also brought in interns, and on my show separately, it wasn't a station thing, but just on my show, one of the first contributors I had was actually a graduate student at American University, and you know, since graduation, she still stayed with me. And there was an opportunity for her to work on the show through a credit program at American University. And so I've asked her many times to connect me back with them so I could, you know, get some more, you know, interns of that caliber.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking sweeten that pie. In other words, if you get them credit to come there, it really does make a big difference. Volunteering is great. Learning how the station runs is great. But if you can get school credit for it, it means a lot. You know, it has to have value. I have one other question. Is Chair, can I ask an additional question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We don't have any way of integrating a delay into our interviews. Is that what I'm hearing here of some kind? The normal, you know, radio station delays so we can catch some of the FCC stuff?
We absolutely do.
Okay.
We refer to it as the dump. And it is a delay where the operator hears what is going to air and it is delayed by 20 seconds. And in most cases, they catch it. We've had occasion where the operator has had to hit the button a dozen times in a broadcast.
It was just a question for my education. It wasn't a criticism or anything. I just was curious.
Oh, okay. No, we do have it, and some things just slipped by. Again, as Esther mentioned, some people have taken the podcast posture where there are no FCC limitations. They're free to say whatever they want, and they forget that they're on the radio, and our operators, having a good broadcast at the tail end of the broadcast, all of a sudden encounters a bunch of expletives that he's missed. So it's unfortunate, but it has happened.
All right. Thank you, Minerva.
Yes, Esther, thank you for the information you shared. The question that I have is, we did a meet and greet with the programmers and some came, and I have to ask you, and hopefully you can gain insight from the programmers, what do they feel is the interaction between the LSB and what they do? Because I think the meet and greet was for them to see us, get to know us, and for us to do the same. But there, if we're all working for the same station, what do you see our role as being in working with you and the programmers, or whomever is going to be over the programmers?
Are you asking me personally, or what I, or do you want me to find out, gauge the programmer's ideas?
Whichever way you feel. I just think that listening to your report and everything, it sounds like you're working with them to get them into doing things, I feel, a little bit differently than maybe what they've been doing before. And like I said, I came into this a year ago, and all of a sudden, it was the LSB against the programmer. So it's like, where did this come from? And what is it that the programmers feel the LSB can do, or what would they like us to do? Or do we move forward and have more interactions with them?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I haven't really been tapped into a lot of the kind of like internal politics of the station in terms of the, whether people feel like the LSB is against them. I don't really get that sense. I think that, you know, there's a lot that's happened that has created silos at the station. And I think that you know, very often even a silo is created, you know, in an individual show. Like, you know, you could just, people just come in, they do their show and they leave, and there's not necessarily a sense of belonging to a station or belonging to a wider Pacifica network or mission. So, you know, I think there's always it's always a good effort to try to break down those silos, to try to bring people together in community. And the event you put on, which I attended, I really appreciated. I see that as an effort to break down whatever silos do exist. I think that a lot of the people who work on shows here, they would like to know more about, or if they don't want to, they need to know more about how the station works, how Pacifica works, and the local station board is an important part of that. And, you know, that's really all I can say. I think you should continue to have those type of functions, and we should have more, station-wide functions where everyone is invited to come to, meet and greet, the LSB, show producers, the small staff, listeners, so that, you know, everyone can understand that, you know, why we call the station Jazz and Justice, and, you know, what the kind of mission we're working on. There's some kind of comments from someone named Martha, and I know it's not you, Martha Peterson. making comments about my comments about interns. So, whatever, you know, if you want to write me off Zoom, you know, and I can continue that discussion, fine, but I don't consider interns slaves, and I don't consider it, you know, lacking in credibility to have interns. I think that we have the responsibility as especially professionals to take on people, to teach, to have our station be a teaching vehicle where people can gain experience that they may not be able to gain anywhere else, certainly not in corporate media, without, you know, being somebody's son or, you know, some, you know, connected person. So anyway, so much for that. But anyway, thank you. I hope I answered your question.
And if I may, Chair?
Yes.
Incidentally, we have met the mission because we've had people at the station who have left the station and pursued other work, had many complications in life. And we had one young lady that was with us that left recently. And because of the experience that she got from WPFW, she entered the freelance broadcast operator world and was immediately made a supervisor based on the work that she had done at WPFW. And I'm quite proud of, you know, her success out there. So we're kind of on mission with that, but we've got to institutionalize it, formalize it, and amplify it, because we could do it for so many more young people.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Esther? I would like to actually pause and redirect the agenda at this point before we move to the Finance Committee meeting, because I understand that Mr. Morrison, our board candidate, has arrived in the meeting. Mr. Morrison, would you care to unmute yourself and introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Good evening. And sorry, I am running late. I got that message of the Zoom link. Just real quick, if you want me to go over just a little bit who I am, and yes, I don't want to take up a lot of time. I know this is a busy meeting. Okay. My name is Patrick Morrison. I was born in Washington D.C. Women's Hospital Center. I think back when I was born, everybody was born in the Women's Hospital Center back then. It was probably one of the only hospitals in the area. I spent my whole life in the community. I grew up in Vienna, Virginia. I'm one of eight. I have four older sisters. I'll tell you about their beatings of me later. I'm just kidding. I mean, I love them all. And three younger brothers. All four of the boys were firefighters. I was a firefighter for Fairfax County for my whole career. And I've worked for the last 20 years after I retired with the International Association of Firefighters down in D.C. I do health and safety, a lot of mental health, a lot of, you know, health around firefighters around U.S. and Canada. So my interest, okay. I have been listening to WPFW for over 40 years. Tom Cole has introduced me to jazz. I don't, you know, G-string is my sort of my cup of joe and G-strings and watching and listening to his stuff grow up on the radio, giving the weather report.
If someone's not speaking, can you mute, please? Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. But I grew up listening to the, to jazz. The radio station, taught me about, musical people that I've never heard of and gave me an experience that, that I cherish. It's the only radio station. I mean, you know, that I can remember that has really done that. I did a show a long time ago on mental health, behavioral health. I do a lot with, you know, PTSD with, first responders. And I forget the woman's name and invited me down. I think it was in the afternoon, that, you know, she had a mental health a show that really, focused on that, which I was just thoroughly impressed with. I just believe that this is a station that has such strong roots, not only in the community, but, strong roots with so many different people layered. And that, it's a rarity, you know, corporations have come in and these, like small store owners, they get moved out, but WPFW has been able to survive for so many years and have given back so much and you can learn so much. And without a community station like this, I come from, I spent most of my life in the union movement, which, you know, this is a radio station that not only realizes what unions can do for individuals, but how important they are in today's society. So my interest was just, when I saw it come up on the website, I decided to put in for it. I think it was last I entered in. I did not make the final round. I was contacted and said that, was I still interested? I am still interested. So a lot to learn, a lot to give back. I have done work with our foundations. We run a charitable foundation for the, for the firefighters around the country. And I've done a lot of work in that and in those regards. And I just want to be around and maybe help and make sure that this station, never goes away and that it continues to teach people, especially young people, you know, what can be taught in ways that, other venues just don't get you. They don't understand that. And the freedom and the truth and a lot of things being spoken, you're not going to hear that, anywhere else. And, I cherish this station. I don't want to see this thing die on the vine for any reason. And that if I could help, I want to just be a help. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Sarah.
Yeah. Excellent. Pat, welcome to, and thank you for volunteering. What do you see your role as a volunteer on this board? What do you see yourself doing specifically, or have you listened to enough of our meetings to have a general idea of how we roll?
No, I don't have a, I like that, how you roll, but, I'm a fast learner as far as how we roll, and I'm sure I'll find a place in there. I do believe in that it's going to take time for me to sit and listen. And to really volunteer at those areas that probably need it the most, maybe starting at the lower end. I'm not promising that I can come in and make, incredible changes in there, but I see so many names on this board in here and people that have been working on this thing for a long, long time. So I want to learn from them and where I can help, where the board feels that I could be of service to the station. I welcome.
Well, thank you very much for volunteering. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Vanessa.
Sorry. Hey there. Thank you for being.
You just cut out.
Oh, you... That was an accident on my part. Sorry.
Okay.
Unmute, Vanessa. I'm sorry.
Vanessa may not realize she's muted.
I did not, and so thank you. Now I did. Thank you. Okay. All right, third time's a charm. So thank you for, you know, expressing an interest and being willing to help. It sounded like a very, very sincere, presentation of, you know, your experiences and your viewpoints about PFW. Just curious, in terms of your labor background, which labor union, or unions were you affiliated with?
I'm with the International Association of Firefighters. We're connected with the AFL-CIO. CLC, and we have Canadian firefighters up there within our union. We represent 335,000 career firefighters across the U.S. and Canada.
Okay. Okay. Very interesting. Just to throw in a comment, I am a labor rep, and some of my members are EMTs. So it's like a whole different way of thinking. So, but thank you for being willing to serve.
Thank you.
Okay, if there are no further questions and if there are no objections, Mr. Morrison, I invite you to take a seat and start learning. The Finance Committee is up next, so that's always a good place to start.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Okay, Kamal.
Thanks, Dennis. Good evening. I was able to send reports out a little bit late, but I'll read from what I sent. The Finance Committee met on the 6th of February, this past Monday. The Finance Committee consists of myself as chair, Julie Hewitt, Lou Wolf, Sabu Hakim, Tony Leon, and Eileen Rawson. We meet at 7 p.m. on the Monday prior to the LSB meeting. The agenda for the Monday meeting was an introduction, a current financial position report from our general manager, Jerry Paris, a draft of the Q1 financial statements, the first quarter financial statements, a discussion around the FY23 budget, questions, and then we adjourned. The following information was provided by station management. Cash on hand on the 6th of February totaled $46,370.34. That's $46,370.34. The ending cash balance at the end of January, that's 1/31. Per the bank statement, was $60,230.26. $60,230.26. And there was a list of outstanding accounts payable as of the 31st of January, totaling $112,878.50. I will go through that list here with you now. As of the 31st, the station still owed rent for January at $16,864.42. That's January rent, $16,864.42. We had a couple of HVAC service costs that were still outstanding from the month of July 2022, $960. Is the first total, and the second one was